Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram from Friday, October 6, 2023, Section A, State and Local News. MPD promotes salary increases in recruiting campaign. Officers can now make more than $100,000 after 10 years. By Stuart Doreen. The Midland Police Department will be up to 42 vacancies at the end of October, but Police Chief Seth Herman hopes that new recruits and an increase in pay can help change that. Herman said this week that there are 17 potential officers either headed to the police academy, completing police academy training, or making a lateral move and expected to join MPD. He also said a new pay scale could help bring that vacancy down. On social media, the Midland Police Department is spreading the word of a competitive base salary for new officers. As of October 1, 2023, the starting salary for police recruits will be $70,344, a significant increase from $59,008, the Post states. The salary increases to $73,731 as a probationary officer, $77,270 as a police officer, and $81,143 with 1 year of experience and up to $103,137 with 10 years of experience. Other benefits already offered include Texas Municipal Retirement System, 2-to-1 match, tuition reimbursement, rent-free dorms, equipment provided, and more, the Post states. As our community grows, we are committed to looking after our officers. Herman said salaries have incrementally increased to move MPD officers from the bottom of comparable cities to the top 10. That, he said, has helped recruiting, including lateral transfers from within the area. Recruitment, he said, is a difficult process, and one would be hard-pressed to find a law enforcement agency, local, state, or federal, without vacancies. Herman said, unlike the fire department, MPD requires a potential officer to be 21 years old, which makes recruiting high school students more difficult. Recruitment was made easier in recent years as the police department no longer requires any college hours of potential candidates. Herman said the police department usually has luck on military bases, with former military men and women with the life experience that translates well to law enforcement. He said recruits spend a lot of time training. He added professionalism comes from training, ongoing training. We want to make them comfortable in uncomfortable situations so they can make the appropriate decisions, Herman said. New mural at Pachuco's showcases Hispanic heritage by Morgan Taylor Thomas. If you've driven downtown within the last week, you've probably seen a new gray, black, and white mural spanning across the side of Pachuco's. Spray-painted into the piece lies deep family ties and Hispanic heritage. Done by Juan Velasquez, an Arlington artist, the mural is just one of the El Paso native's impressive creations. Others include a Willie Nelson portrait outside a dispensary in Oklahoma, murals honoring Uvalde victims, and the iconic, picturesque piece of former Texas Rangers player Roned Odor punching retired Blue Jay Jose Bautista. He's also been featured in Texas Monthly, The Washington Post, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, The Kelly Clarkson Show, and recognized as one of Fort Worth's 400 Most Influential 2023. Some people might find it offensive, like it's gangsters or whatever, but it's not. It's people that are part of our culture, part of my culture, and I believe it and respect it, Pachuco's owner, Ruben Carrasco, explained. I think people still don't understand where we're coming from, especially serving all the different kinds of foods and barbecue. But that's how Pachuco's did it. They did it their way. They took all the influences and made something of their own, and that's what we're doing here. Featured on the mural is Tintan, Mexico's most famous and celebrated Pachuco, Carrasco's late brother, and characters created by Velazquez. Furthermore, Carrasco hopes the mural encourages other businesses to add to the downtown creative scene. Midland needs art. Even cities like Amarillo just had an awesome mural fest. Beautiful. That's opportunities there. We're in a good place. The communities around us are making their cities exciting, and they don't have the infrastructure we have, Carrasco said. We're the type of business that is going to continue to do stuff and not wait for other people. As long as the city supports it, why not? Gas price drop in Midland trails state average, by Ben Schaefer. Each of the 27 Texas metropolitan areas' AAA surveys reported a decrease in gas prices. In Midland and Odessa, the decrease was less than the other 25 communities. AAA Texas reported the 4-cent decrease was half of the average decrease reported statewide, 8 cents, and at least less than 40% of the double-digit decreases in 12 metropolitan areas. Reduced fuel demand, falling crude oil prices, and the transition to cheaper winter blend gasoline all contribute to this week's falling gas prices, AAA noted. The average gas price in Odessa is $3.32, 7 cents cheaper than the average in Midland, $3.39. The statewide average is $3.30. Weekly decreases across West Texas included 5 cents in San Angelo, 8 cents in Lubbock, 11 cents in both Abilene and Amarillo, and 13 cents in El Paso. For the third consecutive week, the average gas price across the state has dropped. Recent data from the Energy Information Administration, EIA, reveals that there has been a notable decrease in gasoline demand. On Wednesday, the price of crude oil plummeted by more than $5 per barrel. It's important to note that crude oil is the primary component of gasoline. If crude oil prices remain lower, it is likely that retail fuel prices will continue to decrease. Additionally, the current shift to winter blend gasoline will further contribute to lowering pump prices, AAA Texas reported Thursday. Four of the 5 most expensive gas price averages statewide are in West Texas cities. Although its gas price decreased this week, El Paso remains home to the most expensive fuel in the state with a $3.58 average. Lubbock, $3.44. Amarillo, $3.44. And Midland, $3.39, also showed averages among the 5 highest in the state. Fuel prices in Abilene are the cheapest in the state, $3.13 on average. Fuel prices in San Angelo are the 3rd cheapest in the state at $3.21. Texas is home to the 5th cheapest gas prices in the nation. Endeavor's Autry Stevens moves to 45th on Forbes' list of billionaires, by Stuart Doreen. The richest man in Midland is now the 45th richest man in the United States, according to Forbes. Autry Stevens, founder and general partner of Endeavor Energy Resources, moved from 63rd on the Forbes 400 Richest People in America list last year to 45th this year. The list shows Stevens to be the 4th most wealthy person in Texas behind Elon Musk, 1st, Michael Dell, 11th, and Alice Walton, 14th. His $14.8 billion net worth pushed the 85-year-old ahead of Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, 48th, and HEB chairman Charles Butt, 121st. Stevens was first in Texas for those in the energy industry, topping Jeffrey Hildebrand of Hicor, 51st, and Kinder Morgan Chairman Richard Kinder, 123rd, among others. Musk was listed as having the highest net worth, $251 billion in the U.S. and Texas. Musk's net worth was higher than the next 11 Texans on the list combined. Stevens had also made the Bloomberg list earlier this year, ranking 179th among billionaires worldwide and 65th in the U.S. Also making the Bloomberg list was Tim Dunn and family. Dunn is the founder and CEO of CrownQuest. He ranked 2,133rd worldwide. Art Talk. Warhol, Shoulder, on view at Museum of the Southwest by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Courtesy of private collectors and the Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh, the last portfolio created by the pop art leading figure hangs in the gallery walls of the Museum of the Southwest. Paired with Andy Warhol's final 10 prints are originals from Native American artist Fritz Shoulder. Together, the collection makes up Warhol and Shoulder, Cowboys and Indians. Through the pieces on display, depictions of Western life mythology portray both modernized and authentic views of Native Americans and cultural aspects. While Warhol uses bright neon colors for his creations, Shoulder's approach balances his own internal struggle with intriguing designs. For Shoulder, it's very much how the Native American has been seen processed through American media. In the 70s, he started doing Native American portraits. He himself is one quarter Luseños, so never really saw himself as fully Native. He didn't want to do this subject in his work, felt it was cliché, but after he started teaching at the Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe, he realized somebody needed to do this from a more authentic vantage point, Matthew Ward, the museum's curator, explained. We start with these iconic graphic images in a bright color palette and then move into work that is grittier and a little more sinister in some cases. That juxtaposition brings forth the nuance and complicated nature of this conversation that's being had, our history, how we narrativize the history of the frontier, how we boil those things down into heroes and villains, and these essential forms that form a religion and don't necessarily reflect the truth. Guests will also find photos Warhol took of himself, Shoulder, and another Native American artist as guides used for portraits. Other painted images include conversations of religion, nature, and death. Throughout the exhibition, museum visitors will find QR codes containing details about both Warhol and Shoulder, their artistic patterns and skills, specific pieces, and more. The collection will hang through December 10th. Museum hours run 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday and 2 to 5 p.m. Sunday, 1705 Missouri Avenue. The Diary of Anne Frank opens Friday by Morgan Taylor Thomas. The Midland Community Theater Pickwick Players will perform The Diary of Anne Frank beginning Friday evening. Based on Anne Frank's 1947 book, The Diary of a Young Girl, the play follows Frank's journey from her 13th birthday to nearly 2 years in hiding in sealed-off upper rooms of her father's office building annex in Amsterdam. From life in cramped quarters and looming tragedy to the moments of life and laughter, The Diary of Anne Frank portrays a timeless message through intense and emotional scenes. The show will run in Davis Theater 1 at 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 2:30 p.m. Sunday, October 13th through 15th will be the same. Tickets can be bought at mctmidland.org. Cast: Anne Frank, Gwen McShann and Sarah Delosier, Otto Frank, Daniel Garrison, Edith Frank, Paula Padrone or Macy Fick, Margot Frank, Zoe Bilbrey or Carolyn Sell, Mr. Van Dan, Anthony Mixer, Mrs. Van Dan, Karen Ortega, Peter Van Dan, Connor Atkins, Mr. Dussel, Sam Johnson, Meep, Claire Atkinson or Belen Olvera, Mr. Crawler, Jameson Ramirez or Jameson Lane. Exxon sees $2.1 billion earnings lift from oil price by Kevin Crowley. ExxonMobil Corporation likely got a $2.1 million boost to earnings from higher oil prices and refining margins in the third quarter, which was only partially offset by a decline in chemicals profitability. Rising crude prices accounted for a gain of about $1.1 billion over the previous quarter, while refining increased profits by about $1 billion. Spring, Texas-based Exxon said in a filing Wednesday. An increase in gas prices added about $400 million to earnings, but that will be wiped out by losses in chemicals, which declined even further from already low levels. The guidance suggests Exxon's earnings will be about $2.33 a share, according to John Royal, an analyst at J.P. Morgan Chase & Company, which is in line with the average of analysts' estimates compiled by Bloomberg. The stock dropped 0.8% in aftermarket trading. Analysts estimate Exxon's third quarter earnings will increase from the second quarter after three straight sequential declines, the longest stretch since the crash in oil prices from 2014 to 2016. Exxon is the first of the oil majors to post third quarter earnings expectations, and its guidance has strong read across for rivals Chevron Corporation, BP PLC, Shell PLC, and Total Energies SE. Here's what ERCOT paid a Bitcoin miner to curtail electric use this summer by Irving Mejia Hilario. ERCOT paid Bitcoin mining company Riot Platforms $2.5 million in September for voluntarily reducing its energy consumption as Texas's historic heat wave pummeled the state's battle-tested energy grid. The latest credits mean the Electric Reliability Council of Texas paid the Castle Rock, Colorado-based company $13.3 million from June to September to curtail its energy use during peak summer demand for electricity. The company also earned $11 million in power credits in September for selling pre-purchased energy to TXU. Riot received $41.6 million in credits by selling its energy back to TXU from July to September. It didn't disclose how much it earned in power credits in its June report. ERCOT and TXU did not respond to an interview request from the Dallas Morning News. The company said its deals with the state put it in an advantageous position. It uses the credits to pay its electric bills. September represented another significant month for Riot as we were able to clearly demonstrate the value of Bitcoin mining while contributing to the stability of the ERCOT electrical grid, Riot CEO Jason Less said in a statement. When coupled with our ability to be a flexible user of power, Riot's sizable long-term fixed-price power contracts represent a differentiated advantage for the company, while simultaneously making electrical capacity available to the grid when it is most needed, ensuring customers do not experience disruptions in service during periods of increased power demand. By curtailing its operations, Riot said it effectively doubled the revenue it would have gotten from Bitcoin mining in September. Riot mined 362 Bitcoin last month, but the money it earned from its deals with ERCOT and TXU equates to approximately 511 Bitcoin, the company said. At midday Thursday, Bitcoin was trading at $27,521. The company's agreement with TXU runs through April 30, 2030. However, its deal with ERCOT is different, said Pierre Rochard, vice president of research for Riot. ERCOT uses ancillary services to manage uncertainty and variability on the grid. The state purchases the services the day before the operating day to mitigate volatility in the marketplace. Customers and power generators can provide ERCOT with those services to increase or decrease the electricity supply. Obituaries and death notices. Heidi Olivia South. Heidi Olivia South passed away on September 27, 2023, at the age of 81 in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. She was born on May 5, 1942, in Whitehall, Wisconsin, to Hiram B. and Joan M. Heggie. Heidi is survived by her daughters Jennifer South and Joni South Shelley, granddaughter Claire Shelley, and grandson Nicholas South. She is also survived by four sisters, Lynn Foss, Joe Braun, Kristen Helgeson, and Jan Sikora, and one brother, Mark Heggie, as well as numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins. She was predeceased by her parents and her husband. At her request, no funeral service will be held. Flowers and condolences may be sent to 428 East Lamb Street, Bellefonte, Pennsylvania, 16823, or donations may be made to a charity of your choice. Jeanette Tenajero. Jeanette Tenajero, 82, of Midland, passed away September 29, 2023. The family will hold a service at a later date. Cremation arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle & Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Maria Carrion. Maria Carrion, age 73, of Midland, Texas, went to be with the Lord on October 4, 2023. Visitation was held October 5, 2023, at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, 1502 North La Mesa Road, Midland. Cremation services have been arranged to follow. Alan Russell. Alan Russell, 82, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, October 3rd, in Midland. A viewing will be held from 8 to 5 p.m. on Friday, October 6, 2023, at Nellie Pickle & Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Catalina P. Tureen. Catalina P. Tureen, 56, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023. A funeral service was held on Friday, October 6th at 1 p.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel. Burial followed at Serenity Memorial Gardens.
Washing machine fight leads to arrest of three brothers. Three brothers were arrested on assault charges Tuesday night after they said they fought over a washing machine. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a fight call from the 900 block of East Monahan Street, and when they arrived, Shaquinton Harrington, 42, told them he was trying to remove his clothes from the washing machine when his twin brothers, LaShawn and Damond Harrington, 41, unplugged it. He said he pushed LaShawn away when LaShawn got into his face, and then both LaShawn and Damond jumped him and tried to hit and kick him. Shaquinton said he got away, retrieved a bicycle tire pump from a shed, came back in and hit LaShawn as LaShawn sat on the couch, the report stated. He also said he swung at Damond but wasn't sure if he made contact. LaShawn and Damond both said Shaquinton punched LaShawn first during the argument over the washing machine, the report stated. They also said their brother went outside, returned with the bike pump, and hit them both with it. Officers found the washing machine in the hallway with a large amount of water on the floor, according to the report. Shaquinton was arrested on suspicion of two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony, and the twins were each arrested on suspicion of misdemeanor assault. Shaquinton remained in the Ector County Jail Wednesday night on surety bonds totaling $50,000. Damond and LaShawn were also remaining in custody. Their bond had been set at $2,500 each. Man accused of robbing two stores. A Facebook post and an anonymous tipster led to the Tuesday arrest of an Odessa man on two separate robbery charges. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Amador Rios Rodriguez is accused of walking into a convenience store's on September 26th and October 2nd, jumping onto the counter and fighting with the clerks over the money in the register. Police allege that in the September 26th robbery of Lama store in Northwest County Road, Rodriguez got away with $155, and in the October 2nd robbery of a Lama store in North Dixie Boulevard, he got away with $123. Detectives posted about both robberies on Facebook, and an anonymous caller identified Rodriguez as the culprit. The report stated, detectives compared the man seen on video surveillance with past jail booking photos of Rodriguez and determined they were one of the same. Rodriguez was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of two counts of robbery. He remained in custody Wednesday night on surety bonds totaling $60,000.
TSTC student said he was destined for hands-on career by Odessa American October 2, 2023. Sweetwater Joangel Reyna knew from an early age that he would have a career in which working with his hands was important. Living in Sweetwater, Reyna had heard positive reviews about Texas State Technical College's Wind Energy Technology Program. After touring the program's facilities when he was a student at Sweetwater High School, Reyna knew that he had found a career opportunity, a news release said. For me, knowing that I would be learning hands-on and not just from a book was why I enrolled in the program, he said in the release. By the time I graduate with an Associate of Applied Science degree, I know that I will be able to start my career. Reyna said the campus tour was beneficial because he was able to talk to instructor Russell Benson one-on-one. Russell spent so much time with me on the tour and was able to give me the ins and outs of what I could be able to learn, he said. It helped me understand that the program was exactly what I was looking for. Benson sees a remarkable drive to succeed in Reyna. Joangel is one of the real standouts in his class. He is a natural leader, Benson said in the release. He is doing all of his work, and when we have the employer spotlights on campus, Joangel makes sure he talks to the employers. Reyna said employer spotlights are important to him because they provide the chance to learn about different job opportunities. Going into the program, I knew about some of the careers available, he said. Listening to different companies has helped me narrow down where I would like to work. Reyna said he hopes that more Sweetwater High School students take advantage of the programs available at TSTC. It is surprising to see everything that is available in our hometown college, he said. It is definitely a place Sweetwater students should look into because you can stay home, and when you graduate, there will be many job opportunities ready for you. The job outlook for the wind energy industry is bright. According to the OneTonLine.org, the need for wind turbine service technicians in Texas was forecast to increase 102% from 2020 to 2030. The average annual salary for a technician in Texas is $56,640, according to the website. TSTC's Wind Energy Technology Program offers an Associate of Applied Science degree and a Certificate of Completion at the Harlingen and Sweetwater campuses. For more information about TSTC, visit tstc.edu. Charlotte K. Daly, Odessa. Charlotte K. Daly, 63 years old, passed away in a traffic accident on September 27, 2023. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. STEM student earns national recognition by Ruth Campbell. R. Campbell at OAOA.com. Surrounded by her classmates, STEM Academy senior Abigail Paredes was congratulated last week for being named a National Hispanic Recognition Award winner. This comes through the College Board National Recognition Programs. The 17-year-old senior is hoping to attend either Hawaii Pacific or Hawaii University Manoa to major in marine biology. Criteria for eligible students include a GPA of 3.5 or higher, PSAT/NM, SQT or PSAT 10 assessment scores that are within the top 10% of assessment takes in each state for each award program or earned a score of 3 or higher on 2 or more AP exams in 9th and 10th grade. They must attend school in a rural area or small town or identify as African American, Black, Hispanic, American, Latino, or Indigenous, Native, a news release said. Any student that is working as hard as Abigail does on daily work, on leading her fellow classmates, on commitment to the score deserves recognition, secondary principal Cody Griffin said. Griffin added that this is another example of hard work paying off for Paredes. She's pretty spectacular. We're proud of all of our kids, but Abigail's hard work for this National Hispanic Merit Scholarship is pretty fantastic, he added. Griffin said Paredes is really quiet, but she is a servant leader. For the last 2 years, she has helped lead National Honor Society. She worked really hard at leading by serving her classmates. That means that if National Honor Society has different activities coming up or different events, she's always the first one to ask, how do I need to prepare for this? How do I get this accomplished? She's done that. She helped lead National Honor Society through Spaghetti Fundraiser last year. She's headed up the Alumni and Junior Senior Burger Feed prior to the flag football game that we have annually. She's working really hard, Griffin said. Paredes, who is from Odessa, said she's always had a passion for animals and the ocean. I've always really liked watching the documentaries where they release the animals back into the wild, and I thought that would be something really cool to be a part of, she added. Paredes said she was shocked by winning the National Hispanic Recognition Award because it's a really big honor. I think it'll help other kids in the community strive for something and realize that they can do something good, too, she added. Paredes was the Miss Permian Basin runner-up this year at the Permian Basin Fair and got a $1,500 scholarship. She has been president of the National Honor Society for 2 years and was the secretary before that. She was also the fundraising chair for Student Council last year. They also received the National Gold Council of Excellence from the National Student Council. I've really liked being able to lead all of my classmates and helping them out and just getting our name out there more, Paredes said. The spaghetti fundraiser conducted for the National Honor Society raises money so they can pay their dues and keep the chapter open. That was always really fun to run, but this was the first year that I was able to actually be more hands-on because I was plugged in, got to see the behind-the-scenes stuff, and I helped place all of the orders. When I got there, I helped set up all the stations and get it running, so that we'd have a smooth experience, and it was pretty good. We raised quite a bit of money, Paredes said. Paredes has been attending STEM Academy since it opened 10 years ago. I think the school is really unique in the way that it is project-based learning, or PBL. I think it's like a really good program for kids to be more hands-on and take pride in their own learning rather than just being stuck at a desk all day and not being able to move. I like that it gives us the opportunity to get college credit, and this year we're going to have the opportunity to get an associate's degree, so I'm hoping that I can go for that, too, she added. Paredes has an older sister, Anaya Paredes, and a younger brother, Xavier Sanchez. She's hoping her brother will follow her lead and do his best in school. Her advice to other students is work hard, and even if it seems discouraging, just keep trying, keep studying, and it'll eventually pay off. All work out for the best. Paredes' grandmother, Mary Munoz, attended the celebration last Thursday. We were just ecstatic about her being the young lady that she has turned out to be. She has always strived to do her best. Always. She's succeeding. She's very goal-oriented. She's got her goals set and she's going for it, Munoz said. Eligible students are invited to apply on Big Future during their sophomore or junior year and are awarded at the start of the next school year in time to share their achievements in high school as they plan for the future. At the same time, colleges and organizations using the College Board Student Search Service can connect directly with awardees during the recruitment process, the release said. Plan F Rates Are Exploding by Tony King. Tony, We have received a 15% increase on our Plan F Medicare supplements, effective November 1st. I am a 70-year-old female in good health, but my husband is undergoing cancer treatment. Also, his cardiologist has advised him that he may need a pacemaker. My friends have told me that we will have to wait until Medicare's annual enrollment period, or AEP, to change from our current Medicare supplement plans. I'm concerned that this Medicare supplement increase, we may not be able to afford the premiums. What should we do? Would a Medicare Advantage plan be a good option to change to with Sam's cancer issues? Sarah from Nashville, Tennessee. Hello, Sarah. You were given inaccurate Medicare information from a caring friend. I have good news for you because you do not have to wait until Medicare's annual enrollment to change your Medicare supplement. You can change your Medicare supplement Plan F anytime during the year. Medicare's annual enrollment period is a time only to change your Medicare Advantage plan or Medicare Part D prescription drug plan. The Medicare supplement renewal increases are more than the public was expecting for Plans F and C. In 2015, Congress passed legislation called Medicare Access and CHIP Reauthorization Act of 2015, or MACRA, to help the medical industry by correcting the Doc Fix proposal. MACRA also updated Medicare Supplements Plan F and C, which began January 1, 2020. That is when Medicare Supplement Plan F and C rate increases began. Anyone who wants to change Medicare supplement plans and has been enrolled in Medicare Part B longer than 6 months must answer health underwriting questions regarding current and past health issues. This is what you and your husband will have to do to change Medicare supplement companies and plans. Sarah, you have an option to change from your current Medicare supplement plan to F to a different Medicare supplement company or a different type of Medicare supplement plan, such as G or N. Both you and Sam must qualify by answering medical underwriting questions to change Medicare supplement plans. Sam may have difficulty qualifying for a new Medicare supplement because of his cancer and heart issues. If you and or he cannot qualify because of a health issue, then other option may be to search for the right Medicare Advantage plan to fit your medical needs. The only catch to making a change to a Medicare Advantage plan is that you must wait until Medicare's AEP, which begins October 15th through December 7th every year. Below is what Medicare supplement plans G and N offer to change from a Medicare supplement plan F. Medicare supplement plan G offers lower premiums and the same Medicare benefits as plan F, except the Medicare Part B deductible is not covered and will be paid for the enrolled Medicare beneficiary. Part B deductible for 2023 is $226. 2024 Part B deductible has not been announced yet. Medicare Supplement Plan N has lower premiums than Plan G, with more out-of-pocket. There is a $20 copay for a doctor with the visit of $50 copay for an emergency room. Part B deductible is not covered, and unlike Plan G, Part B excess charges are not paid for by the insurance company. Caution, do not cancel your existing policy until you have been approved by your new Medicare supplement insurance company. Sarah, your friends mean well, but taking their Medicare advice can lead you down the wrong path. With your Medicare, it's what you don't know that will hurt you. Need Medicare help? Call the Tony Says Medicare hotline at 832-519-8664 or email info@tonysays.com for assistance. Tony's books are available at TonySays.com with a bundle discount for Tony Says readers. Cross-sector convening plan to find child care solutions for the Permian Basin. Permian Basin infant population expected to grow 12% in 5 years. By Odessa American, October 2, 2023. Education Partnership of Permian Basin, in conjunction with the Permian Strategic Partnership and the Permian Basin Workforce Development Board, and with support from Katera Energy, will host a major regional convening from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wednesday, October 4th, highlighting the challenges and solutions of child care in the Permian Basin. The event will be held at the Bush Convention Center at 105 North Main Street in Midland and is designed to foster collaboration and innovation among school leaders, civic leaders, and community members within the 17 counties of the Permian Basin Workforce Development Board service area and eastern New Mexico. The event will include sharing data from the Child Care Landscape Analysis Study, panel discussions of innovative solutions, legislative update, collaborative time for civic and educational leaders to brainstorm solutions. General admission is free. Visit tinyurl.com/MTDJ679F for more information and to make reservations. Judd Campbell begins term as Odessa Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors Chair by Odessa American, October 2, 2023. Whitley Penn, tax partner, Judd Campbell, has begun his term as 2023-2024 Odessa Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors Chair. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce is a volunteer business organization providing leadership to further development and marketing the city of Odessa, Ector County, and the Permian Basin. Campbell has more than 20 years of tax, audit, and accounting experience with public and private companies. He has a broad range of accounting experience, including taxation, business consulting, controllership, accounting policies, internal controls, external auditing, compilations, and reviews of financial statements for a variety of clients in oil and gas services, real estate, manufacturing, and retail services. It is an honor to be chosen as the 2023-2024 Chair of the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, stated Campbell in a press release. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce will continue to be a leader in the community by collaborating with our community stakeholders to enhance the exceptional quality of life that Odessa has to offer. I'm looking forward to seeing what the future holds, and I am excited for the significant role that the Odessa Chamber of Commerce will continue to play in helping Odessa thrive. In addition to his role with the Chamber, Campbell is an active member of the community, currently serving on the Board of Directors for the Permian Basin Rehab Center. He is a graduate of Leadership Odessa and a member of the Knights of Columbus. Campbell has previously served on the board of High Sky Children's Ranch, Jim Parker Little League, Main Street Odessa, and has been involved with a variety of other charitable and civic organizations. In 2017, he was honored as a part of the inaugural class of Odessa Under 40. Campbell is a member of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, and the Texas Society of Certified Public Accountants, TXCPA. He is licensed to practice public accounting in Texas and Oklahoma. Campbell received his Bachelor and Master of Accountancy from the University of Oklahoma. Sisters in Fire event encourages young women to explore a career in wildland firefighting by Odessa American, October 2, 2023. Palo Pinto, Texas. A&M Forest Service hosted the third annual Sisters in Fire event September 30th at Worth Ranch, a Longhorn Council BSA property. 35 young women between the ages of 13 and 18 from 22 Texas counties and one Oklahoma county attended the event. The Sisters in Fire program was created to introduce young women to wildland firefighting and natural resource careers. Emily Mitchell, Sisters in Fire Incident Commander, said in a news release, "This year we had women from across the state of Texas and one from Kansas who are introducing their professions and passions to the young women of Texas. Participants were split into squads or teams for the day and rotated through four stations. Each station introduced them to various topics and skills relating to the wildland firefighting profession, including how to suppress wildfires with fire engines, bulldozers, chainsaws, and hand tools. They also learned leadership and communication skills that are critical for wildland firefighting crews," the release said. "My favorite part of the day was meeting new people and getting to take on a leadership role," said Emma, Sisters in Fire participant. At this year's event, a fire boss from Dauntless Air, an amphibious aircraft frequently used on Texas wildfires, made two water drops, helping demonstrate the coordination needed between aerial firefighting resources and ground personnel during a wildfire incident. The Fire Boss AT-802F aircraft is an essential part of our air operations during wildfire season, said Cassidy Entz, Texas A&M Forest Service Unmanned Aircraft System Program Coordinator and Sisters in Fire Squad Boss, in the release. This was a great opportunity for our participants to witness this incredible aircraft and skilled pilot perform a water drop. Participants put everything they learned to test during the final event of the day and prescribed fire demonstration. While the instructors burned a small area of grass, the young women answered questions and applied what they had learned to a real work scenario. According to the U.S. Fire Administration, women account for a small percentage of career firefighters, including 5% of all career firefighters, 11% of volunteer fire service, and 12% of federal wildland firefighters. Our program introduces young women to a variety of career opportunities associated with wildland firefighting that some may not have even realized were available to them, said Mitchell. It also provides our leadership team opportunities to network, build relationships with other women, and develop personally through training opportunities. The Sisters in Fire event was hosted in cooperation with Texas A&M Forest Service, USDA Forest Service, Texas Park and Wildlife Department, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Nature Conservancy, Texas Intrastate Fire Mutual Aid System, University of Texas LBJ Wildflower Center, and Kansas Forest Service. Having all these agencies here shows that we are all doing similar things, and we all have a role to fill with wildfire and land management, said Ashley Samberson, United States Fish and Wildlife Service, in the release. We want to support each other during wildlife suppression and outside of wildfires on programs like this and others. Texas drought has deepened amid this year's brutal heat, by guest contributor, October 2, 2023, by Kevin Vu, the Texas Tribune. A lingering drought affecting more than 80% of Texas is causing wildfires, hurting agriculture, and drying up water supplies throughout the state. This year's drought comes less than a year after Texas experienced one of its worst droughts on record in 2022. Last year, we were lucky enough to start getting widespread rain during the last 3 weeks of August. Texas State climatologist John Nielsen Gammon said, "This time around, August didn't bail us out, and September's been a bit better, but certainly not enough to cause widespread improvements." After widespread rains in May and June that brought much of the state out of drought, Texas suffered through one of its hottest, driest summers on record. East Texas, Central Texas, South Texas, and some parts of West Texas are now affected by some level of drought, areas where 24.1 million people live, according to drought.gov. Nearly 40% of the state is in extreme or exceptional drought, the most severe levels according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. Climate change both strengthens and lengthens heat waves, and the hotter temperatures make droughts more intense than they would be otherwise. The National Weather Service forecasts that the drought will ease this fall. Texas voters will head to the ballot box in November to decide whether the state should spend $1 billion to create a water fund to build new water supply projects. Drought causes reservoirs to drop. The lack of rainfall has caused many public water systems across the state to issue varying levels of water restrictions or ask the public to conserve water, according to the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. Nielsen Gammon noted that the reservoirs in parts of Central Texas, which is facing its second driest summer on record for the second year in a row, are at record low levels. Lake Travis near Austin was 36% full on Thursday, down from 49% at the same time last year. In Temple, Stillhouse Hollow Lake was 58.5% full on Thursday, compared to 76% this time last year. In North Texas, North Fork Buffalo Creek Reservoir near Wichita Falls was only 29.7% full on Thursday, a huge drop from 49.6% last year. As of Friday, the state's reservoirs were 66% full, according to the Texas Water Development Board. In an effort to bolster Texas's dwindling water supply, state lawmakers earlier this year approved Senate Bill 28, which would spend $1 billion on new water projects and repair aging infrastructure. If voters approve it, the money will help jumpstart projects such as marine desalination and treating produced water, contaminated water producing during crude oil production, with an emphasis on helping rural communities with a population of less than 150,000. Small communities can't afford to do those big projects anymore. Priorities got to be given to the little guys, said State Senator Charles Perry, Republican, Lubbock, who authored Senate Bill 28. As Texas continues to grow, lawmakers are worried the state's water supply will not be able to keep up with demand as the state's population continues to grow. Now we got that many more bodies drinking out of the faucet, Perry said. It compounds the drought. May not be as severe as 2011, but when it happens, you got that many more people impacted by it. It's just another bad year for cotton. Ronnie Schnell, a cropping systems agronomist at Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Services, said that spring rains helped boost harvests in grain crops like corn and grain sorghum in south and central Texas, but crops grown later in the year have been harmed by the extreme summer heat and drought, including cotton, a crop that's typically tolerant of dry weather. It's the second rough year for Texas cotton farmers, who reported $2 billion in crop losses last year. Compared to other crops, cotton tends to be better in hot, dry weather, but it can still be damaged if it doesn't receive enough rain, said John Robinson, a Texas A&M AgriLife Extension cotton economist. It's just another bad year for cotton. Farmers can irrigate their crops during dry periods, but Schnell said this summer's heat and drought has made it difficult for irrigation systems to keep up. When there's drought and there's competition for water resources, at times it's going to impact agriculture because they may not always be able to get the water they need when they need it. Snell said, crops are so sensitive to water at certain times of the year, they really need water at certain times of the year to make it as productive as possible. Wildfires have slowed as fall arrives. The parched conditions have led to an active wildfire season. More than 1,000 fires have burned more than 120,000 acres so far this year, according to Texas A&M Forest Service. While far below the numbers seen in 2011 and last year, the fire risk promoted 175 Texas counties to impose outdoor burn bans this summer, while Governor Greg Abbott issued a wildfire disaster declaration throughout the summer and renewed it on Tuesday. As it becomes drier, the wildfires become resistant to control because there's more vegetation, more what we call fuel available to burn, said Brad Smith, head of predictive services at Texas A&M Forest Service. And the more fuel you have to burn, the more intense the wildfires become. The more intense the wildfire becomes, the harder they are to control. Smith said rain in recent weeks has slowed wildfire activity, but fires continue to spark around the state. On September 22nd, the agency responded to 14 fires that burned 556 acres, Smith said. That's still quite a few fires, but the average fire size has dropped, and we're not seeing the intense fires that we saw back in August, he said. We have improved. Conditions have improved. We're hoping they continue to improve. Disclosure. Texas A&M AgriLife and Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service have been financial supporters of the Texas Tribune, a nonprofit, nonpartisan news organization that is funded in part by donations from members, foundations, and corporate sponsors. Financial supporters play no role in the Tribune's journalism. Find a complete list of them here. This article originally appeared in the Texas Tribune at https://www.texastribune.org/2023/10/02/Texas-drought-agriculture-wildfires/. The Texas Tribune is a member-supported, nonpartisan newsroom informing and engaging Texans on state politics and policy. Learn more at texastribune.org. Panhandle Grape and Wine Tour, set October 21st in Amarillo by Odessa American, October 2nd, 2023. The Panhandle Grape and Wine Tour, hosted by the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service, offices in Potter and Randall counties, will be from 1 to 5 p.m. October 21st and include visits to two vineyards. The event is limited for the first 30 people registered, with a registration deadline of October 18th. The fee is $45 per person or $75 per couple, to be paid upon arrival on event day. Registration is available here. The program will begin at 1:30 p.m. and attendees will meet at the Buffalo Falls Vineyard at 16001 Interstate 27, south of Amarillo, From there, the tour will travel to Bar Z Winery at 19290 Farm to Market Road, 1541 east of Canyon. Transportation will not be provided. Megan Eichner, AgriLife Extension Agriculture and Natural Resources Agent in Potter County, and J.D. Ragland, Ph.D., AgriLife Extension Agriculture and Natural Resources Agent in Randall County, said they've both had inquiries about the potential of growing grapes in the area. People want to know if it's even doable in our part of the world to grow grapes with the weather and temperatures, Ragland said in a news release. This is a way for us to show it can be done and for people to see firsthand what all is involved and talk to some experts. Eichner said this meeting also helps the community learn more about the diversity of agriculture production in the area. Guest speakers will be the owners of Buffalo Falls Vineyard, Charlie and Belinda Rivas, and Bar Z Winery, Monty Dixon, and Daniel Henlin, AgriLife Extension Viticulture Program Specialist for the High Plains and West Texas, Lubbock. The educational program will feature the following topics: Texas Wine Industry Overview, learning about growing grapes, maintenance and care of vines in the Texas Panhandle, wine making process, types of wine, wine tasting. Bell Pepper Spring Bright Fall Flavors by United Supermarkets Dietitian Team. As the leaves start to turn shades of red and yellow, the fall season brings it with abundance of colorful and flavorful fruits and vegetables. Among these seasonal delights are bell peppers. They stand out for their vibrant hues and various culinary creations from July to October, but can also be found year-round. From bright reds to luscious yellows and deep greens, bell peppers not only add visual appeal to our dishes, but also offer a delightful mix of sweet and tangy flavors. Let's explore the culinary wonders of bell peppers and celebrate their presence in fall feasts. Bell peppers, also known as sweet peppers, are cultivars of the spices Capsicum annuum. They are native to Central and South America and have a long history of cultivation dating back thousands of years. Initially, bell peppers were valued for their ornamental beauty, but over time their sweet and crisp flavor made them a staple ingredient in various cuisines around the world. Bell peppers come in different colors, each signifying its level of ripeness. Green is unripe, while red, yellow, and orange varieties are fully matured. One of the most delightful aspects of bell peppers is their culinary versatility. They add a pop of color, flavor, and crunch to countless dishes, making them a go-to ingredient for chefs and home cooks alike. Whether used in raw salads, sliced for dipping in hummus, or roasted to bring out their sweetness, bell peppers elevate the taste and visual appeal of any meal. Their sweet flavor pairs well with savory ingredients like onions, garlic, and herbs, while their crunchy texture provides a satisfying contrast in various dishes. Aside from being delicious, bell peppers offer a range of health benefits. There are low in calories and high in essential nutrients like vitamin C, vitamin A, and potassium. Vitamin C boosts the immune system and supports healthy skin, while vitamin A is essential for eye health. The combination of nutrients in bell peppers contributes to overall health and well-being, making them an excellent addition to a well-balanced diet. With the arrival of the fall season, bell peppers become a prominent and adaptable fruit, bringing vibrant hues and a refreshing climate to our meals. Whether consumed raw, cooked, or roasted, they enhance the taste and appearance of our dishes, enriching our gastronomic adventures during this time of year. Moreover, their healthful advantages further contribute to their appeal, making them an essential inclusion of our autumnal galleries and festive occasions. Stuffed bell peppers, what will you need? 1 pound shredded rotisserie chicken, 1/2 cup quinoa, 1 can corn, 1 can low-sodium black beans, 1 eggplant, 1/2 cup salsa of choice, and 6 bell peppers. How it's made. Preheat the oven to 375 degrees. Dice eggplant on a baking sheet lined with parchment paper. Roast eggplant for 20 minutes. Cook quinoa according to the package directions. Drain and rinse beans and corn. In a large bowl, combine the shredded chicken, cooked quinoa, corn, beans, and eggplant, and salsa to mix. Cut the tops off the bell peppers and scoop out the insides. Pack the peppers full of the mixture and place on the same parchment paper baking sheet. Cook in the oven for additional 10 minutes.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.